And you're listening to Global Agogo, music from around the world in the universal language of groove. With four different ways to enjoy this program. First of all, live on the radio every Sunday from 1 to 3 p.m. on Le Tout Poussant WRIRLP, 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. Also through WRIR's Time Machine at WRIR.org/listen, where you can hear this show live as a web stream simulcast or on your schedule as a podcast. Plus, it's rebroadcast on other radio stations in the Global Agogo Radio Network. And last but not least, it's available as a podcast through my blog, globalagogo.com, and through the A-Infos Radio Project at radioforall.net. That's radio, the numeral four, all.net. And we ended the first hour today with some samba soul and samba funk from Brazil, a mixture of vintage and modern takes on those genres. That last one was Marcio Local from 2009, and Swing It Domino from his wonderful album for Luacabop Records called Marcio Local Says Donde, Dondre, Don, Don. And before that, it was the undefeated heavyweight champion of samba soul, for sure, Jorge Ben, from maybe the greatest album in that style ever recorded, in my opinion. That's Africa, Brazil, 1976, for Philips Records. We heard Chica da Silva from Jorge Ben. And then before that, João Selva, brand new music from him. He's a singer from Rio de Janeiro who now lives in Lyon in France. And we heard his brand new single called Banho de Mar, or A Dip in the Sea. And that is a pre-release single from his upcoming album, which is called Unda. And that is going to be released on January 10th by Underdog Records, second time in this program for Underdog Records, which is an indie label out of France. And when I heard that song, especially the bass line, really reminded me of Chim Maya. And that's why I started that set out with Chim Maya doing O Caminho do Bem, The Path of Goodness, which is from an album called Rational Volume 2, that he made 1975 while he was a member of the Cultura Racional cult, who believed that humans were extraterrestrial beings banished to Earth. Sort of like the founding myth for Guar, actually, now that I think about it. Anyway, he was in the cult for a couple of years. He made two albums. He was a very popular singer in Brazil at the time. It was kind of, I don't know, it seemed kind of odd. And it was kind of odd. But he left the cult. And he tried to destroy as many copies as he could of the two albums that he made while he was in it. And that's one of the reasons that that album, Rational Volume 2, currently the original pressings of it go for like $500 a copy or something like that. It has been reissued. By the way, the music on those two albums is really quite good. It's just the lyrics are kind of peculiar. Now, of course, Chim Maya wrote a lot of stuff in English, but I'd say, you know, half or two thirds of it is in Portuguese. And the lyrics are mostly just passages that come from that Rational, the Cultura Rational cult's Bible, which is called Universe in Disenchantment, including the lyrics for that song, O Caminho do Bem, The Path of Goodness. It's a great song. And then, of course, the backstory makes it even better. And so let's see. We're going to launch into the second hour of Global Agogo here in just a sec. Before we do that, here is a pause for the cause. With freezing weather, homeowners and renters can take steps to keep their families and homes safer. Simple actions like allowing faucets to drip or insulating crawl space water pipes can prevent costly repairs and ruptured pipes. Fires and carbon monoxide poisoning can be prevented by remembering to keep heaters and fireplaces properly ventilated and keep those heaters far from flammable materials. Never operate generators inside either your home or your garage. And for more tips to keep safe in your home during weather emergencies, you can visit the Federal Alliance for Safe Homes at flash.org. And that's a public service announcement of your community radio station, WRIR. All right, second hour of Global Agogo today, and I have a special guest in the studio with me. George Lowe is going to come to the mic here in a second. George has been a fan of Ethiopian Golden Age music. This is kind of the music of Ethiopia from the 1960s and 70s, primarily the last years of the Haile Selassie monarchy and the time when Ethio jazz was being invented. He's been listening to this music for, like I said, more like 35 years. And he has a band called the Afro Zen All Stars. A lot of you folks will be familiar with them. You've heard them many times on this program. And they play a lot of arrangements of Ethio jazz classics that George has written for the band. And so he's been very involved with this Ethiopian music scene, but it's really been here in Richmond primarily. And this week, something changed. And so I got George. George, welcome to the studio.
Thank you, Bill. It's great to be here.
And George started telling me about this during the week. And I was like, this sounds like the plot of some extremely implausible movie, you know, that you know could not possibly happen, but it was actually happening. And so I said, do you want to come on the show and tell people what is going on with your band right now? And George said he would, and so here he is. So I guess let's do this. Let's start back in 1987. Okay, just briefly to give people the background here. And you heard, that's when you heard this kind of music the first time, right?
Yes. I was at a friend's house. He got a couple of copies of a record in the mail that turned out to be the very first recording of modern Ethiopian music to be released in the West. And he put it on the turntable, and I just thought, my God, what is this? What is this miraculous sound? It was completely otherworldly and mysterious, and it only took a few seconds for me to be absolutely hooked for life, and it very definitely put me on the path to where I am today.
Yeah,
those first 5 seconds were all it took,
and
the record was Eramela Mela by Mahmoud Ahmed.
Okay.
Who is a huge hero of mine.
Yeah, so the first time you heard Mahmoud Ahmed's music, 1987.
And the first time that I'd heard Ethiopian music.
Yeah. And so let's, flash forward to closer to the present, and you started actually playing this music.
I first started to arrange things to be Ethiopian things to be played by the band that I was in at the time, which was Rattlemouth. And we began with a Mahmoud Ahmed piece, Bemen Sebeb Letlash, from that same Eramela Mela release.
Yeah.
And we played that and a number of others. And when I left that band 10 years ago, it was for the express purpose of being able to play more expansive arrangements and more of this stuff. And so we now have nearly 40 Ethiopian bass tunes in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, and so you guys are really one of the foremost non-Ethiopian bands playing Ethio jazz in the world. And that's actually been documented on a record in the Ethiopeaks series, what is that series called?
Ethiosonic.
Ethiosonic series.
That was actually when I was in Rattlemouth.
Oh, okay. How about that?
Yep.
And these guys are pretty well known in the community of people who are interested in Ethio jazz. Now, that's a pretty small community. And then they're pretty well known here in Richmond because they play a lot of shows, and people like their music, and people like to dance to it. And so they've got that going for them, too. Now, right up the road here in Washington, D.C., you know, just a couple hours, is one of the largest Ethiopian, I guess the largest Ethiopian diasporic community in the world. And you guys have played in D.C. Until this weekend once, right?
Yes, one time, and I think it was at least 7 years ago.
Yeah. So I guess it came as a surprise when you got this phone call.
Actually, I got an email.
Email.
And it was from my new friend, Shoet. And he said, I'm organizing an event for Mahmoud Ahmed. Call me. And so I did. And he told me that Mahmoud is 85 and he's finally retiring from performing, mm-hmm. and that they were putting together a massive retirement party and celebration of him and benefit for him in Northern Virginia, where Mahmoud lives, and that Francis Balsado, the Frenchman who was the creator and curator of the Ethiopique series, had recommended us to be included in the event. So Shoet went online and discovered our music and some videos of us playing songs by Mahmoud and said, we must have you for this event.
now there were some Ethiopian musicians that were asked to play as well, right? A lot of them.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. They invited the entirety of the DC Ethiopian music community, and there was a house band at the event that was comprised of players from four prominent DC Ethiopian bands and 23 different absolutely amazing singers. Mm-hmm. It was an unbelievable scene.
So and then there was you guys.
And then there was us.
That's a pretty big compliment, I would say.
I couldn't believe any of this as it was happening. Originally, Shoet told me, don't say anything about this on social media because you are to be the surprise featured guest demonstrating Mahmoud's influence beyond Ethiopia and into the present. And then he shared a video of us playing Bemen Sebeb Letlash with a good friend of his who is the host of the most popular television show in Ethiopia, and he played it on his program, and by the following afternoon it had 280,000 hits, and he was inundated with questions about who are these people? When are they coming to Ethiopia? So he called me and said, we've changed our mind and now we need to really promote this. And so, it was just crazy.
Well, let's go back to this TV show thing. Because this was one of the more amazing parts of the whole situation. So this show, George sent me the clip of it, and then I went and I found the whole hour long show. It's out on YouTube, and I think I put a link to this on my post for this here at WRIR.org and globalagogo.com, so you can go and watch it too. It's all in Amharic. That's the problem. So you might not be able to understand what they're saying. No subtitles for English speakers. But anyway, this guy, I mean, it's like the Johnny Carson show of Ethiopia.
Yes.
This is the most watched TV show in Ethiopia, is that right?
Yes.
And you are on there as a guest on the same show with Mahmoud Ahmed.
Yes.
And who are those other two guys?
I don't have any idea. But they did.
One of them was definitely a singer.
Yeah.
The other guy who also sang was definitely not a singer. But I assume that they were both musicians, but neither of us knows who these guys are.
No idea. But they did. They did the Ethiopian media organization, EBS, has the headquarters in Addis Ababa and one in Silver Spring. So Mahmoud did his interview in Silver Spring, and then I did a Zoom thing. And I had very much assumed that they would leave the interview in English because Seifu, the host, is talking to me in English and use Amharic captions. But instead, they redid him asking the same questions in Amharic and had somebody Ethiopian dub my answers, and it's crazy.
It looks like one of those kung fu movies, you know. So the idea that they've got a guy who speaks Amharic and is dubbed back into Amharic is also pretty great. But I guess that's what they do with the English interviews for the show, because the audience for this program, you know, is primarily people in Ethiopia, and then also the Ethiopian diaspora, all of whom speak Amharic. And so that's, you know, the lingua franca of the program. So I guess it sort of pretty much makes sense.
Yeah, it was... I'm amazed that I don't look nervous or panicked, because Seifu's got a significant accent.
And, oh, yeah, okay.
And it really helps when you're talking to somebody who's got a very significant accent, if you can see their mouth moving when they're talking
Definitely.
To you. Definitely. Well, he could see a nice big image of me, but in his studio, the cameras are on the other side of the room, and the image that I was seeing was... of him was like matchbook size, and I can't see his mouth move at all, and there were times that I had to ask him to repeat things because I just didn't have any idea what he had said to me.
Yeah,
the first thing that he asked me was who my favorite talk show host was, and I didn't understand what he said at first, mm-hmm. so he repeated it, and then he started rattling off Jimmy Fallon, Stephen Colbert, and I said, yeah, I don't really watch that much TV, and his response was, what? Why?
So it was like a whole Johnny Carson show experience there. I was looking for an Ed McMahon figure, but he maybe was on vacation this week. Because Seifu was doing the whole thing himself.
Yeah.
Even when he had the guests. He also didn't have a band. But other than that, it had the desk, you know, he had the coffee mug on his table, on his desk there. I noticed that the coffee mug had his own picture on it. That was a nice touch.
He typically does have a band there.
Ah, okay.
So we may not have seen the whole broadcast. I'm not sure.
I don't know. I looked at the whole hour long
thing. I did too.
But maybe there's more that's not on there.
I'm not really sure. Mm-hmm. All of the others that I pulled up to give me a sense of what was going on had him come out at the beginning with the band right there.
Right,
playing.
And he tells jokes. Like,
yeah.
Like all
He's
the,
a comedian.
Yeah, like all good talk show hosts. So it's nice to know that the same format is used on Ethiopian TV as American TV.
Yeah.
It would be very comforting, I guess, if you went over there and you'd be like, ah, yeah, I understand what's going on. I can't read the words, but yeah. I understand what's going on. And so what else did he ask you? Because we don't really get to find out, because both of you guys are dubbed into Amharic.
Well, he wanted to know how I got interested in this music, how I got exposed to it. Mm-hmm. I'm drawing a blank on a lot of it. My favorite thing was he asked me if I'd ever had Ethiopian food, and I told him that it was actually my favorite cuisine, and he said, really? So what do you like? And I said, well, my most favorite would be Misr Wat. And he kind of sat back, and his eyes bugged out, and he looked around the room at the other people in the room, and then they started applauding me.
You aced that part of the test.
I did.
Yeah, that's great. Hey, so there's a lot more to this story, but we don't want to get too far from the music here on this music program. So let's play some music for folks. We're going to come back because we haven't talked about the event at all yet. So we're going to get to that here in a moment. You want to start with that first Mahmoud Ahmed recording that you ever heard?
I very much would, and it's, well, you'll hear for yourself. It's an extraordinary thing, and it's called Seditegnash Nain.
Okay, and we're going to listen to that right now. This was released in the West in 1987, but recorded in Ethiopia in the
1970s.
Okay. All right, here we go. Mahmoud Ahmed, classic recording right here on Global Agogo. Check this out. Shagirim, if Eligish meta, what did Chekagirim?
chi la gibi cha dominu ya direm ende ta le chi lin a che fikir firem a chi ota ti le chi biluni mach ne per kuni a chi ota ti le chi biluni mach ne per kuni Shalew, twat mone mata, beta mashekere, yena fotizita, alehu libei, fetreni aleita, anchi ota, tiene shimbilu, ni machne perguni. Anchi ota, tiene shimbilu, ni machne perguni. Samre kul samra betristam betve kul samra samre yesam samra esamra samra esam wagebin samra yamenyal sam mekene samra ilenyal sam tikeshan samra yamenyal samra eskesta samra ilenyal samra erasin samra yamenyal samra harshash samra ilenyal sam
I have not listened to that song in quite a long time. This is this album, which is reissued as number 7 in the Ethiopic series. That was later than 1987. And it's Mahmoud Ahmed, Ere Mela Mela is how it's packaged there. And when I, you know, doing the radio show, I don't listen to a lot of my old albums all the way through the same way that I used to. It's like you go to a song or you know, a couple of songs that are the things that you go to for the program. And from this one, Ere Mela Mela, Meche Nu, Belomi Bena, all things that I've played pretty frequently on this show. I don't think I've ever played that on the show. And I was just like sitting here listening, and I was like, that is awesome. Oh my God. And it is so complicated. And it is so difficult. I mean, what the musicians are doing there is like so tricky. And it's really, I mean, you know, for somebody that, you know, that came to world music from the pretty far out extremes of jazz, as I did, it's very appealing.
Tricky is a good word.
Yeah. So those songs are, it's really a medley. Sedetinash Nain, Samaraye, and Indinesh Gadawo are the three songs in that medley from Mahmoud Ahmed. And that was what turned George Lowe, my guest, on to Ethiopian music. And so Mahmoud Ahmed was your first, was the first thing that you heard. And then someone suggested that maybe he should sing with you. What is that? How does that? Where does that part of the story come in here?
Well, my new friend Shoet, the organizer, when I asked him if Mahmoud was going to perform at all, he said that he wasn't in the best of health, and he was having some hearing problems, and but that he hoped to be able to sing one song at the event, and Shoet told me that he was going to push for it to be with us, and that just blew my mind completely. I just couldn't imagine such a thing happening.
Have you guys ever backed a singer as the Afro Zen All Stars?
No, we have not. Yeah. We have not. I did beat the bushes in Richmond with my acquaintances in the Ethiopian community to see if there was anybody here, but they couldn't recommend anybody that wasn't in D.C. the day that we did that Mahmoud did his interview and I did my Zoom interview, I got to speak to Mahmoud Ahmed through Shoet. Mm-hmm. He called me. They were in the car on the way to do his interview.
Ah, okay.
And he told me, I'm in the car with Mahmoud, and you're on the speaker. I just played your music for him, and he said, I can't believe how great it is. What would you like to say to Mahmoud? You know, so I told him how influential he had been to me, and how grateful I was for his influence, and how he had changed the trajectory of my musical life. And a couple hours later, I texted Shoet to say, I'm really disappointed that I was too awestruck to even think to ask him if you'd like to sing with us. And his response was, oh, that's okay, I asked him and he will. But I couldn't believe it. But I knew that it'd be day to day and day of show. He might not be up to it. And
right, exactly.
As it turned out, he wasn't up for it, and he didn't sing at all.
Yeah, he didn't sing with anybody.
He did not sing with anybody, and they had him situated in the room on the wall opposite the stage. On a big throne, which was only appropriate. I saw somebody in a comment on that the interviews were broadcast also on YouTube, and one of the comments referred to him. I thought it was wonderful. Referred to him as the King of Dreams.
Oh yeah. If you want to see Mahmood on the throne, that does sneak into that video. You guys posted on. If you go to YouTube and search for Afrozen All Stars, they've got a couple of current videos up there, and one was is a clip of you guys performing. Was it Below Me Bena?
Yes.
Yeah, and at the very beginning of that clip, we get some of your comments to Mahmood, yeah. And you can see him in the background there on the throne. It's a really great looking thing. Yeah. So this was the event. This happened on Friday.
It happened Friday night. Yeah.
And this was like the creme de la creme of the Ethiopian community in D.C. was there. They're honoring one of their biggest celebrities.
Yeah, absolutely. They said that capacity was 800. It's a huge ballroom in Springfield, and they said they were going to sell 800 tickets, but they vastly oversold. Wow. And I really think there were probably 1,200 people there. And when...
At $100 a head, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And some people squeezed into tables that were already assigned by spending even more money.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. That works everywhere.
But, yeah, it was it was amazing, and we had to leave at midnight. The event started at 6, and we had to leave at midnight. And when we left, it really looked like no one had left.
Yeah,
every seat was full, and there were people everywhere.
So you got to play for an all Ethiopian / Ethiopian American audience for the first time.
Yes, and I saw only. During the performances, I saw only one Caucasian that wasn't in the band, and that was my wife, Christina.
Yeah. And so, how did people there respond to the performance?
Oh, we get a great response.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think this is something that I wanted to touch on here about how Ethiopians, feel about other people and their love of their music, you know, because, you know, in some, like here, you know, here in the U.S. we hear people talk about appropriation all
yes.
the time and things like that. And the Ethiopians look at it exactly the opposite way.
Yeah. They're absolutely thrilled that their culture is being shared.
Yeah.
Absolutely thrilled. I had so many people before we played just wandering around the room. I had so many people who had obviously seen the interview thank me. Uh-huh. So very many people. And one of the Ethiopian singers said that he lives in Arlington and that he must work with us. And so I'm really looking forward to something playing out with that. Two guys who Ethiopian gentlemen who said that they were event promoters said that they wanted to do something. One guy who actually went out of his way to take pictures of me with Mahmood for me, which was not something that I had even anticipated.
Right. Yeah.
He told me that he is a music promoter in D.C. within the Ethiopian community, and, quote, we will work together. So I have high hopes that things will be in the offing.
That's really cool.
Yeah. You know, I really have heard a bunch of crap about cultural appropriation when what I'm actually doing is championing these African giants who birthed this music and promoting them. But it's always from Caucasians. It's interesting.
It is interesting. And it's interesting when you meet Ethiopians and ask them about this, because I did have an experience that was kind of related, obviously not on this scale, but I went to a show, this was probably 10 years ago, up in New York at Lincoln Center Out of Doors, and they had a big band from Boston called the Either Orchestra, who also have this kind of specialty in Ethiopian music, and they backed two singers. They backed Mahmoud Ahmed and Alamiyehu Eshete. And then they were followed by a Dutch band called The X, who, you'd really say that they're a punk band, basically.
They say they're anarchist punk.
Yeah. And they were playing with a legendary and kind of legendarily under the radar, I think, saxophone player from Ethiopia named Getachew Mercuria, who was not like at the fame of someone like Mahmoud Ahmed or even close, but was this really incredible and incredibly muscular saxophone player at this is at the very end really of his career. He was still if you're into jazz, it's like, you know, those guys that the Texas tenors, that's what Getachew Mercuria was like. David Fathead Newman or somebody like that, those guys that would stand on top of the table and play. But the X, they like totally deconstruct the Ethiopian music. It doesn't sound at all like the recordings. It sounds like the X. And we were at this show with some Ethiopians because my sister-in-law, who hopefully is going to listen to this because she will find this really interesting, she had just finished doing some teaching in the law school in Addis Ababa, and she had met all of these Ethiopian lawyers who were in New York, and they all went to this show together. And so we were sitting with this group of Ethiopian attorneys, basically, and I was asking people, I was like, how did you feel about this? And they were, to a person, they were like, oh, that was fantastic. I love the way that they played our music, the music of our country. I was like, it doesn't bother you that they... No, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, you just taught me something, in how to appreciate what somebody else is offering. I just leave that out there for people to think about.
Yeah.
So your band, how did they like this whole experience?
Oh, yeah. It was special. And I mean, yeah, it was very special. And we did, we performed really well. And played things that that were among Mahmoud's most popular pieces that we knew people would love, and they certainly did. But the band was very much into it. Everybody just had a really great time.
Yeah, it's a once in a lifetime opportunity.
It's absolutely, yeah. And you know, a number of people have said to me, as the thing was approaching, it's a dream come true. And I had to say, no, it's not a dream come true. I mean, this is way beyond anything that I could ever have dreamt.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah. Well, I think what I want to do right now is play for you an excerpt from the show, because we've got that right here. And so this is going to be Afrozen All-Stars, recorded on Friday at the Mahmoud Ahmed Retirement Celebration. And they're going to be playing one of his most famous songs here. This is Eri Mela Mela. It's on that same Ethiopeaks 7 album. But here's what they sound like doing it at this show. And remember, Mahmoud Ahmed is sitting there listening to them play this. I would be petrified, actually, myself. But we're going to listen to it right now. Check this out right now on Global Agogo.
All right.
There's the Afro Zen All-Stars recorded live on Friday at Mahmoud Ahmed's retirement celebration in Springfield, Virginia, playing Mahmoud's song, Ere Mella Mella. And you heard people applauding. That's always nice that the people appreciate what you're doing out there. Hey, let's list the members of the band here. They should get credited for their performance
on this particular gig. The band was Scott Milstead on drums, Hunter Duke on percussion, the mighty Brian Cruz on bass, Chris Vasi on guitar, myself on guitar, Myrick Crampton on tenor saxophone, Chet Frierson also on tenor saxophone, and Chris Sclafani on alto and baritone.
Yeah. So that's the Afro Zen All-Stars, and you can catch them here in Richmond pretty frequently. Do you have a next gig set up at this point?
The next Richmond gig is on the 31st of January, and it's our 10th anniversary celebration.
Fantastic.
It falls about 2 days after the 10th anniversary of our first performance.
Okay, where's that going to be?
Reveille in Carytown.
Awesome. So, George Lowe, it's been quite a week. We haven't talked about any of the other stuff that happened during the week. I think we'll just leave that out of the show.
Yeah.
I mean, thank you for coming on and sharing this whole experience with us and with the audience. I think, you know, for folks listening out there who aren't musicians, you know, the largest reward of playing is doing it and doing it with other people who appreciate what you're doing. And it's the doing it itself is really usually the biggest reward that you get. Some people are successful enough to actually like make a living doing it. It doesn't actually make any difference, though. You've got to be self-driven to want to do this. And this is a band that, you know, it really marches to its own tune. And then every once in a while to have something like this happen in your life, it's just like that extra whipped cream on the top of what you're doing.
Man, that's absolutely true. You know, it could conceivably be sufficient reward for me just to sit in a room with these unbelievable players and play this stuff.
Yeah.
And some of the best stuff that I've ever heard has been in the rehearsal room.
It's got to be extremely satisfying when you know, conceive of an arrangement, write it, sit down with the musicians, work through it, and then, you know, you get to the end of the process and you're like, that's exactly what I was looking for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it often surpasses my expectations because the guys are so extraordinarily just great.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorite things that happened on Friday was we were in the green room, and there was an Ethiopian man in there who had a camera on a tripod, and I didn't realize that he had interviewed a couple of people.
Oh yeah,
and he came over to the table, and he had just a serious look on his face, and he said, instead of hello, the first thing that he said was, "You are famous in Ethiopia." All over the huge country, north, south, east, and west. Can I interview you?
It was your Tom Waits, "I'm big in Japan" moment there. That's really great. Thanks for coming in, George, sharing that story with that whole story with us, and the great music that we got to play. And we have time to play maybe one more song here.
Well, I'd like to say thank you so much for having me. This is really fun. I'd like for you to play what I hope to be the next Ethiopian piece that I get done and that we play.
Ah, okay.
And it's on the Alemye record, Ethiopeaks 19, and it's called Anchi Enen Budejin.
Okay, so this is one you're planning to work on.
I just started on it. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
But I'm dying to play it.
All right. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you.
so I qua bema che nacci ore ti al che me seu and io pe cracci and io pe cracci and io pe cracci ye che li si mette o fraile le mala che se magile da ti li che sa and in be filago per si metti se che my name so I cheated but the clean as a kid my name so I cheated but the clean as a kid my cheated or the gene and if today that cheated my name so I qua be my hacker I cheated what a jar came myself and the old big cheated and the old big cheated What did you should have seen? Things in the lashing, Sidney Shin Megamet, Kataki Tish, in Mr. Achini, at the great in the
And you hope it's not you.